Dive into all things Cardinals on Cardinals Conversations, your go-to location for exclusive content from KMOX. Catch it on the Odyssey app or your favorite podcast platform. Stay connected with your team. Cardinals Conversations, where the Redbird talk never stops.
Welcome back to the Hancock and Kelly Show. We are joined by our good friend, Mr. Brad Young. He is a lawyer at the law firm of Harris Dahl, Fisher & Young, and he's kind enough to join Hancock and Kelly here. Happy day after opening day, Mr. Young.
Oh, it was a great day yesterday.
Yeah, how you feeling about this team, buddy?
Time will tell. Yeah. Let's see when people come off the IL, and we'll see how we'll make a decision then.
So John and I wanted to have you on to talk about this horrible incident that's taken place in Baltimore Harbor. We all witnessed it, the boat that knocked down the bridge, and here we sit. President Biden says that the federal government should pay for the bridge, and it opened up a bunch of questions that John and I were talking about. Number one, who owns the bridge? Is it owned by Maryland? Is it owned by the federal government? Who owns that bridge?
Well, typically, I don't know. You know, I didn't crawl underneath and look at the sticker underneath that says property of state of whatever.
That's a tag you can't remove.
The tag you can't. If you remove it, you know, listen, you get prosecuted by Letitia James.
Right.
But regardless, though, in this instance, I haven't looked at that specifically. Generally speaking, the bridges are owned by the states.
Okay.
And then the federal government pays for the maintenance when they cross navigable waters, when they cross state lines, when they're interstate highways. Then they get federal funding. But typically the bridges are state owned. I don't know if that's the case here.
Yeah. And I would suspect that it's going to take a couple billion dollars probably to redo this bridge.
Oh, no question.
And the state of Maryland's not going to have that. They're planning for, you know, 20 years of construction. So it makes sense that the federal government would come in. The question is there's probably a lawsuit here potentially. Who gets to sue? Does the state of Maryland sue? Does the federal government sue? And if the federal government puts the money out and there is a ruling in favor of some type of reimbursement, does that money go back to the feds and you and I get to take that off our taxes, or how's it work?
Well, it's going to take me a minute to describe this, okay, Michael, because I've actually been involved in bridge litigation. In 2015, there was a ship, a barge that broke off and hit the Eads Bridge downtown. And I was involved in that litigation. It took years and years and years to resolve. And so there is a unique law here. It was passed in 1851, and it's called the Shipping Limitation of Liability Act of 1851. It's unlike any other litigation you'll ever see. Here's the Reader's Digest version. Normally, in most lawsuits, plaintiffs file lawsuits against the defendants and seek to recover money, right?
Yeah.
But in this instance, it's the exact opposite. The defendant files the lawsuit under this 1851 law, and then says to all the potential plaintiffs, come and get me, but I'm here in this particular jurisdiction and venue. And under this Limitation of Liability Act, if the ship owner can prove that they were not negligent in this instance, then the liability is capped at the value of the ship and the value of the cargo. So what does that mean in practical terms? It means that there are billions of dollars of damages here, not just because of the bridge, but personal liability from those who were killed, right, those who were injured. You've got businesses, you've got who can't, who have now been impacted because the bridge is out. You've got shipping companies that can't ship their goods in and out. They all have damages. And so the damages are almost incalculable. But if the ship owner can use this 1851 law to limit their liability, all of that would be limited to just the value of the ship, the value of the cargo. And we call it the Titanic law, not because 1851, long before the Titanic, but the White Star Line successfully used this law to limit their liability to $600,000 when the Titanic went down, even though they had almost incalculable damages. They used this exact same law. And so that's, I can promise you with 99.9% certainty that the owners of the ship will utilize this law The question is, will they be able to utilize it successfully?
So that's really interesting. So the process here is that they will then go to court to get under this statute from 1851. Is that how you had to deal with the whole Eads Bridge case back in
the
day?
Yes. That's exactly how we had to deal with that. Go ahead.
Why was that law in place in the first place in 1851?
Well, I can tell you very easily. You remember when the internet started, just right after Al Gore invented the internet?
Yeah, right.
Right, you remember that. So when that happened, the United States gave tax breaks to the internet to get this fledgling business off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in 1851 is the U.S. was getting hustled by other countries because of shipping the shipping business. And so in order to allow the shipping business to prosper and to grow and to catch hold in the United States, Congress passed this law in order to create an incentive for companies to expand their shipping business, because that would help the entire country economically. But now here's the key to this 1851 law, gentlemen. It's this. It's that the ship owner has to prove that they were not negligent, that they had no, and the fact the wording from the statute is privity or knowledge. They had no privity or knowledge. Now, privity isn't a word we use a lot these days, but basically what that says in modern language is they cannot be at fault, no negligence. If they can prove that, then they can take advantage of this law. However, you look at this, the ship lost power, so there could be negligence involving the maintenance of the fuel systems, the maintenance of the fuel that was used, the maintenance of the electrical lines within the vessel that transmitted electricity throughout the ship. We don't know. It has to be an investigation, but that's literally where this entire case will focus on.
Okay, and governments could be parties to those lawsuits and receive compensation?
Well, they could be, and here's why I say could be. Here's the rub when it comes to governments being involved in litigation, Michael. It's this. Even let's say for just a moment that this 1851 Liability Act does not apply, that it's proven that there was negligence, the ship owner had negligence, they don't get their liabilities limited. If that's the case, they have an insurance company here, but there are going to be limits on that insurance policy. And so if all of the damages from all of the other plaintiffs want to be compensated by the insurance, then the government's going to have to take it on the chin, because if the government comes in and says it's going to cost us $60 billion to rebuild this bridge, then none of the other plaintiffs would ever get any money. So the people who died, their families would get nothing. The businesses that suffered, they would get nothing, because the federal government's lien would be so enormous that it would take all of the insurance benefits and pay to the federal government. Probably what the feds are going to say is, we're not going to make a claim against the insurance, and so that the other damaged parties can then recover against the insurance policy.
Yeah, fascinating. Any idea? I have not heard. Are they speculating the length of time it's going to take to rebuild this thing?
Oh, my goodness. Years.
Years.
I mean, obviously, it's a years process. It's not anything that can be done quickly. What will be done quickly, though, is under this 1851 law, the ship owner has 30 days to determine and file a lawsuit. And so I promise you with every fiber of my being that the ship owner and the company that owns the ship, they're plotting with their legal team about filing this lawsuit. It's not guaranteed to be successful, mind you, but if they can utilize this law, they could limit their losses to the single digit or maybe double digit millions instead of billions.
Unbelievable. Wow. Good stuff, Brad Young. He's the KMOX legal analyst. He's a partner at Harris Dahl Fisher & Young, and he's been a guest on Hancock & Kelly. I don't know if your day can get much better than that, Brad.
I don't. You know, this is the highlight of my day, gentlemen. In fact, I'm just going to take off the rest of the day because this is the apex right here.
All right.
See you, buddy.